in studio now we have Bev Milun. Let's go and say hello and welcome to the ever wonderful Bev Milun.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. I'm lovely. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You had a great week.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been well busy, but
that's a good week to have.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. Where's Gabriel today?
He's at school, where every kid should be who's not on holiday.
Has school gone back?
Not all, but much to his dismay, his is one of them that has. So
okay.
Back at school he is.
I think my sisters-in-laws all love my nephews to be back at school because they are a handful.
Well, my cousin said the most wonderful thing very, very long time ago when she was a single mom and I just had Gabriel and we were on a family reunion in Israel in 2000. It was a huge reunion from all over the world for my cousin's bar mitzvah. And there we were, and she was a single mom by design. She'd organized it.
Yeah.
And she had a little boyki, and he was boisterous and running around. He was about 3 or 4 at the time. And I remember someone saying to her, "Wow, you have your hands full." And she looked straight back at them and said, "I'd rather have my hands full than have my hands empty."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, so. We feel the same way. We are a very male-oriented family. I've got 6 nephews, 2 nieces. Sorry, I got 5 nephews, 2 nieces, and then obviously my son as well.
That is quite a wonderful family.
Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely.
Big, energetic. Right, so I have no SMSs on my screen because my computer is down.
Okay.
But I think, Tubbs, do we have stuff going on there?
Well, there's a whole lot that I'd love to talk about. So let's start with that.
Cool.
Can people still call in?
Yes, please do.
Certainly the better way to get in anyway.
I think call in is definitely the best because Bev and I would love to speak to you. It's 0861 24 24 36. Call in with your birth date. Otherwise, if you're a little bit shy, you can SMS us to 34519 and let us know if you're a boy or if you're a girl, and then it helps Bev kind of streamline.
Okay, so what I'd very much like to talk about today is being the best that you can be. Right now, that's my whole passion. That's everything I'm about, is helping people to find what holds them back so that they can reach their higher potential, reach deeper into themselves, reach up, do more, be more, give more. That's really the goal.
Yeah.
So I always try and encourage people to do nothing wrong intentionally, try to do no harm always, and live independent of the scrutiny of others.
Yeah.
Now that's a big byline for me, and that'll head up a chapter in the next book because that's a big thing.
Yeah.
If you can just live in a way where you do nothing wrong intentionally, you don't try to break laws, you don't try and go against the legal precept for what you're supposed to be doing, and you try to stay within those confines always, and you try to do no harm always. There's a deliberate intent to do good.
Yeah.
There's a deliberate intent to improve, to contribute, not to take away. And you live independent of needing people's opinions to be good of you, of needing people's affirmation, of needing people to respect you, of needing people to affirm you, or you can't do it, or can't go forward, or you can't put yourself forward. That is a very empowering way to live. And I can't encourage people to do that enough. And so that's why I use this profiling, is to help people find what holds them back. It's very easy to sit and to go through somebody's profile and say, "Oh, well, you're artistic and you're intelligent and you're funny and you're good at this and you're a great communicator and you're so dedicated to your family," and brush up their tail feathers, and that's all easy. But it's a whole different ballgame when it comes down to sitting with somebody who really wants to improve because they feel unfull. And that's where the desire to improve comes from, is a feeling of unfullness and unfulfillment. It means I'm sitting there, I don't feel I can source my own joy. I don't feel like I can just get happy just being on my own. And it's a frustration for me. So one of the things I'd like to talk about today, until somebody calls in or we do some profiling and we can look at different birth dates, and for sure there's a big birth date coming up next week with Madiba aging, and his birth date is absolutely fascinating. There's a man who completed his potential. It's unbelievable. What he could be in his greatest potential, he's realized.
Amazing.
Right. And he's had the obvious ramification of doing so is outreach, is change, is improvement, is legacy. And, you know, people hear this and they think you have to be an Oprah Winfrey or Nelson Mandela or some icon to have left a legacy. And it's not true. There are unbelievable legacies left of a recipe that changed lives. And I've read stories about a grandmother who made this recipe for something, and the children just yearned for it and loved it and tried to recreate it. And it was a legacy in their family, how it brought everyone together around the table when she made this, I think it was an apple crumble or something. And, you know, I wouldn't eat it, but other people love it. And it brought this family together. There was something about it. And that's a legacy. It's something that goes on and touches people and improves things.
The fullest truth of right, that person.
Right. Now, one way where we do that is where we be the best we can be in whatever we are.
Yeah.
So people say to me, but I'm just a janitor. So what's the big deal? Are you kidding? You can make or break a business center by toilets that are not habitable.
Yeah.
If I go to a bathroom in a beautiful shopping center and it's dirty, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously? You can't keep this together?
Yeah.
Where you have to keep the hidden part of yourself cleaned up to really be authentic in the world.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the outside is beautiful and shiny. What you let other people see is beautiful and shiny, but what the people who really have to live with you with in the darkest, quietest places of yourself is not cleaned up.
Yeah.
This is where it's a big problem. So if you're going to be a janitor, so be the best janitor you can be, because there's nothing more pleasant than going into a toilet when you need one in a shopping center and it's beautiful and it's clean and it smells good. It's just so welcoming.
Yeah.
As opposed to going there and going, oh, that was a horrible experience, right?
Yeah.
So I don't care what people's station is in life. Be the best you can be at it, because that's your legacy. That's what you leave behind, is a work ethic and dignity and pride and self-respect and giving in that environment and being the best you can be. And people will always take that to a vocation. I'm going to say, let's translate it right now to family. So you're a father and a businessman. That's great. Be the best businessman you can be, but be the best father.
Absolutely.
What are you doing to be the best husband?
What I was going to say to you is that, you know, you spoke about the shiny exterior and keeping your true self hidden, and yet we're always so much more susceptible to showing that awkwardness of ourselves to the ones we love most. So we're always just a little bit harsher, a little bit rougher with the people that we love so much, you know, especially like married couples who've been together for a long time, and they start just getting a little bit like less considerate. The tenderness starts dissipating, because there's this kind of feeling of, well,
I'm protected.
I'm protected
behind these walls, and no one can see me, and I can get away with this.
Absolutely.
This is a safe place in which I can get away with this. And what I always love to say to people is, let's take the walls away.
Let's take the walls
away. Pretend the walls don't exist. Mm. So let's pretend that the people you behave so perfectly in front of, at wherever it is, at the school, at the church, in the synagogue, at work, wherever you are, let's pretend all those people are right
always
here
watching
now.
Yeah.
And now, how do you want to speak to me?
Yeah.
How are you going to speak to your child?
Absolutely.
How are you going to handle the tea that just got spilt all over the carpet?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
We want to watch. Let's pretend there's no walls, and everyone you perform so beautifully for all day, every day, are right here. So people say, oh, I want to just come home and let my guard down. Don't they say that, Mr. T? I want to be able to let my guard down. Why are you guarded for people who won't be at your bedside when you're dying?
Absolutely.
And the people who are right there, who love you, who want to go through life with you, who want to share experience with you, the good, the bad, the illness, and the happiness and wellness, and them you want to let your guard, go let your guard down with people who do not significantly contribute in your actual life. Go let your guard down if you have a guard.
But
if you
why
have
is
a,
that?
Because people don't work hard enough on themselves. And it is much easier to be a performer and go out there in the world and pretend to be wonderful and pretend to be a good guy and pretend to be a nice woman and speak so highly and do this and do that and go home and rip it all off and go, that was hard.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why have you done that? I can't believe you this. I can't believe you that. Well, my line is, would you do that in front of your minister? Would you do that in front of the rabbi?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you behave the way you just behaved in front of your boss? Would you do it in front of your colleagues? Would you do that in front of your cousin to whom you pretend you have the perfect family?
Yeah.
Oh, our family's so cohesive and it's so congruent and we're so good together. Would you behave this way? Why do you have two behaviors?
Absolutely.
The only thing that should differ is that when you get behind closed doors, you might be even more tender, even more generous of spirit, less boundaried, even more vulnerable, even more open. That's the only thing that should happen behind closed doors.
I so agree with you. And I try.
I'm glad you can stay.
I mean, I try to speak to my partner all the time about that. And we speak about how we want to remain so conscious with each other and really allow ourselves the fullest chance to be open and loving. I don't want to be nice to everybody else and come home and then be snappy to him. And I've seen that with so many people, and I can't help but feel saddened and frustrated by it. And I can't help show those people, look how you're acting, because they can't see it. They're so blinded by their own inner turmoil. They can't actually see that how they're treating their loved ones is not the fullest sense of love.
Well, love has many different dimensions to it. And I agree with you that there's an incongruence, that there's a difference between how they're behaving in the street and how they're behaving at home. And that's the fundamental concern I have, is that people think they're meant to work hard to pretend, but they're not working hard enough to be different.
Yeah.
So pretending to be different and being different are light years apart. It means rooting out what keeps you from being like you pretend to be at home.
Yeah.
Pretend to be outside at home. So let me put that in English that doesn't have 1,000 commas. When we go out into the world and we put on a pretense about how friendly we are and how polite and how organized and how good we are with people and how wonderful we are with our children. Meanwhile, as soon as we get in the car, we pinch them or do something like that or make a nasty comment. I can't believe you do that. You're such a problem to take with to the shops or whatever. We are damaging the self-esteem of these children. But we're also damaging the self-preservation of us. Because when you say that, when that comes out of your mouth, people don't feel good about being evil, cruel, critical, right. They don't feel good about it. They feel slightly empowered in the moment where they've put someone else down, but it's not a good remnant afterwards. It's a blech remnant. Yeah. And so they want to shake it off. And so then it'll be, well, you made me do that because I can't possibly be the reason that something so horrible would come out of my mouth. It must be you. You made me do that. I wouldn't do that. On my own, I'm such a good person. I'm so righteous. I'm so friendly. Didn't you just see the pretense I put out on the showroom floor at the shops? I mean, I'm good. I'm nice. People like me.
Yeah.
They speak to me. They come greet me. You see, I'm likable. But when I'm alone with you, I'm impossible. It's you. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm a victim of you.
Yeah.
And you're this evil, powerful little child who
can make me do
other
things.
Make me do horrible things. No, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up and smell the Earth Project. The Earth Project is, here I am to refine myself, to grow myself, to evolve, to become congruent with how I pretend to be. Mm. So the best way to look at it is like this. Not everyone can put on a good pretense outside, I might tell you. A lot of people fail miserably at it, and they're not so easy to interact with in the world. But most people can put on a pretty good show.
Yeah.
So a good way to assess what you're capable of as a human being, if you do the work, is to look at the pretense you have out there in the world. How do strangers see you? How do people you interact with in a business social environment see you? In the shul, in the church, in wherever. How do they see you? Right. Now that is part of your higher potential. What you can act as, you can be.
Yeah.
Now to make that congruent at home so that the people who care the most and the people who'll be there the most and the people who are there when your business crashes, whether they like it or not, when your business succeeds, when you are healthy, when you're not healthy, when you're winning in life, when you're struggling in life, the people who are there at the end get the best of you.
Yeah.
You need to root out what keeps me from behaving at home like I do on the street in the environments that we've been discussing. What is it? What happens in that moment where I'm cruel and not kind? What happens? I've taught my son since he was an infant, just because people get cross does not give them permission to be cruel. It does not give them permission to be aggressive. No one has that permission in your life. And if you allow it, it means you gave them permission. If someone is aggressive with you or rude with you or cruel with you, and you do not say something about that, what you just did was allow, and you gave them permission. So someone can say, well, I don't need your permission. No, you do need my permission to behave in a certain way if you're going to keep interacting with me. Because if you interact that way and I don't allow it so that you can continue to do that, then you can't interact with me. So if someone speaks to me in a way that I don't appreciate, then my line is, and it's a very gentle but very beautifully put assertion, I don't give you permission to speak to me like that. And what I'm saying to you is, that is not fulfilling my need to be respected. It's not fulfilling my need to be interacting with someone who's kind with me. It's not fulfilling my need for somebody to care about what's important to me.
Yeah.
And so I am not going to interact with you if that's the way you behave. And so now it is your choice. You're not a victim here. It's your choice. You can either continue to behave that way and we no longer interact, or you break that cycle and you do the work it takes to become a more refined person and we can continue to interact.
Yeah. Well, Tubbs and I were just talking about choices and how it's, you have your choice, how you react to your life. And so we totally agree with 100% what you're
saying.
Again,
I'm scoring today. Hey,
totally scoring, yeah. Slam dunk.
That's fantastic.
So I think let's take a quick ad break and then we'll get some of the numeric profiling done.
101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
In studio, we have Bev Milun, our weekly numeric profiling, and later on we'll be having Mashi Lipska with our weekly dose of spirituality. Bev, we've been speaking about how to reach our full potential, and I know for myself it's something that I try and live consciously, and reaching and by being in the moment, which is what we were talking about earlier, is one of the ways that I try and reach my full potential, because I don't want to feel like I'm living in the past and living in the future. I want to be here now with you, talking to you consciously and in full presence, you know. But I'd love to hear, but I know we've got some interesting birthdays. People have SMS'd us with their dates. So
let's do them, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the female on the 12th of July, 1956.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're going to look at it specifically from the perspective of how can this person be more congruent?
Okay.
Right. What is missing when the walls come up?
Yeah.
Right. Or what is there when the walls come up that isn't there on the street? So if we're looking at this person, we have somebody who wants to be listened to, wants to have their opinions respected, wants to be able to communicate, likes to take direction, likes to move things forward, and who wants to be followed and can be. I mean, this is not somebody who is incapable of being followed, but very directive, likes to say, do this, do that, let's go this way, let's go that way. Now, it's also somebody who's sensitive and doesn't articulate feeling, but articulates thought.
Yeah.
So now what happens there is we have somebody with a critical, quick, sharp mind who is assessing things and deciding how things should be, but also has very high standards about how things should be and unrealistic expectations in certain areas. And that can be immensely disappointing.
Yeah.
So if I was like that, this person is going out into the public eye. Can you really get away with criticizing everything left, right, and center? Well, you can if you're a business inspector, or if you're an auditor, or if you're an attorney. Well, then you get paid for the privilege of being that critical person, or if you're in interior design, etc., right? But in the general public, we don't have that much scope to just be critical and assessing and saying, well, this is, shouldn't be like that and that shouldn't, etc. And so what you will have is somebody who holds back on their opinions and holds back on what they're feeling and holds back out there, but perhaps behind closed doors might feel a little bit too safe and a little bit too in a power position where they can give over their opinion.
Yeah.
And that can be very different and very limiting, because the conflict here is that this person is a wonderful nurturer. This is a wonderful, caring nurturer and a sensitive one who likes to care for people, likes to take care of them. But in so doing, you might have somebody who, with a strong opinion, tells people how they should be taken care of, mm-hmm. how they should be caring for themselves, and doesn't give other people a scope to do it for themselves. So there's a drama here. There's a story here. There is a need to be in her own story without worrying about other people's opinions, because her opinions are so strong about everybody else, she might hold herself back from living her true story because people might have an opinion of her. So that's something to consider and look at. And obviously with everybody, we're doing this on one foot. When I do a profile of somebody or a family or a couple or a business team or whatever for an hour or two or three, there's a fortune that there is to look at. We're doing this briefly, right? Yeah. So that's something to look at. If we look at the male born on the 21st of April 1982, so we have someone who's just turned 30 and moving into a new period for him. Different with women, funnily enough, when they're about to turn 30, there's a lot more that happens in that dynamic of a woman moving into her 30s than a man. But there's a lot that happens for men too. And here we have somebody who likes to have things perfect. They need to be beautifully done and finished beautifully. And he can be so stubborn about it that if it's not done his way, he might want it redone. So, this is not you laughing. Do you know this person?
I do, yes.
Okay. So was that accurate?
Pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay, so then you can nod. I always love having people in front of me who know the person. So just nod occasionally and give me a quizzical look if I'm going off track. So he likes to finish things. He likes things to be done in a way that it's presentable and other people look at it and go, wow. That is stunning. Yeah. That's really beautiful. So if he's in the creation world, in building or in finishing things, in whatever it is he's doing, it doesn't even matter if it's a spreadsheet or whatever, it will be beautifully done. And he'll get quite upset if someone goes, oh, there's a block that's wrong. He's like, what? I missed that. I can't believe it. He'll come back and he'll want to fix that, right?
Totally.
Okay, so where he's going to struggle is that he has his own story. This is not a societal creature. He does not like society. He doesn't respect it. He doesn't admire it. And he doesn't have any aspirations to be a part of the normal society. Is that accurate?
I think it's an inner struggle for him, like an inner conflict.
Right. So the catch is because he needs affirmation and he wants respect and he wants people to include him, he will compromise himself and his real story to live a life that is congruent with society, and it will leave him feeling unfulfilled. And that will be the inner struggle. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that resonates.
Okay, well, I don't know how much he wants to have this put out all over there, but this is a deeply sensitive person, but people don't know it. The people who interact with him will think he's happy-go-lucky, strong, dramatic, caring, nurturing, loves things to flow and be beautiful in the world, very spontaneous, quick to do this, quick to do that, and willing to try things where other people might say, whoa, no, I don't think I can do that. He'll go, well, why not? Let's try it, right? So that's the kind of person people will think he is. But behind closed door, we have this deep, philosophical, sensitive thinker who wants things to be better and wants the world to be perfect and is heartbroken that things are not the way they should be and wants to protect his children and is generous-spirited and affectionate and caring. And people would not know that. Right? So I'm not saying people should know that, and that's the part that should come out in the world, because he's a good guy in the world. I can see that also, right? So there isn't the Jekyll and Hyde thing happening here at all. But what is happening for him, and if he was sitting in front of me and said, I don't feel completely fulfilled, I'd say, well, when are you going to get into your story, man? When are you going to give yourself permission to be more of yourself and less of what society expects you to be? Because until that day, you're not going to feel fulfilled. You're not going to live your true story. And until we're living our true story, we can't have that complete contentment that comes from accomplishment, comes from having done, from having being in the space that we're supposed to. So now people will say, well, how do I know when I'm in that space? How am I supposed to figure that out? Well, I would reflect and say that there's a lot of things I love doing. I love being a channel for people to learn more about themselves. I feel incredibly privileged to be able to share what I hear and get and observe of people and of the world and help to contribute to people improving their lives in some way. That's wonderful. And from my optometry perspective, I love giving a service to people. That's fantastic. But even more than that, I love working with people who don't have enough, who can't come to my practice, who can't pay me, and who need. And I can play a small role in their life in helping them to see better and helping them to have their vision improved and helping them to succeed in their daily struggle. And so when I'm feeling that tingling inside, that fullness, that absolute exuberance that fills me and I can feel sparkles coming out of my skin. It's a moment like this, or it's a moment when I'm working in a village and I'm working with kids who would never have access to the kind of healthcare I can offer, and they get it and I can see their lives improving and my life is full. And the only reason I stop is because they say, you know, the sun's gone down. And only then do I realize my back's aching from bending over to get to all these kids, yeah. And my feet are killing me, and I so badly need to just sit down for a while. On every other day, if I don't have my seventh cup of tea by 2 o'clock, I'm not the happiest person. On that day, I forget to have tea. There's a fullness. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, when you feel that, even for a moment, and I don't care if it's cooking breakfast for your family or it's doing the cleaning in the house, or it's doing a cleaning in your job and taking home an income to take care of your family, or it is changing the world on a bigger level, you're doing something. And if you feel fooled by it, if you feel this feels good, then that's part of what your calling is. And perhaps part of your calling is just a level of excellence. I went to a talk years ago, about 10 years ago now, of an Indonesian man who studied and put himself through college in Indonesia by cleaning the urine off the seats in stadiums and picking up the trash. And he did it. He said every day he did it, he knew he was making it cleaner for the guys who were coming back. He's a millionaire today. I went to a talk because he was touring the world and inspiring and giving people direction, hopefully, from his experience, right? And he said that every day that he was in that stadium after everybody left, all their packets and everything behind. And I must say, I hear the job creation, but guys, is it such a big deal to leave a movie theater and pick up your popcorn box and your cool drink thing and put in the dustbin? You know, I have people look at me like an insane person because I often walk out and my hands are filled with other people's popcorn boxes, and just pick up, make some effort. They'll still have stuff to do. Don't worry. They still have stuff to do, but seriously, do you have a cup of tea at home? Leave the cup there and hope, you know? I mean, we are far too spoiled in this country in that regard. Moving on, he said that he would go in there and there would be stuff all over the floor and all under the seats and urine. People just didn't bother to go, there's urine, and he had to scrub it and clean, and that's what helped him get a college education, right? Every day, he said, he didn't go there feeling demeaned that he had to clean this place. He said someone had to clean it. And he said he did the best job to clean it because he knew one day he'd be able to afford the tickets. And he knew one day he'd come and sit in these seats. And he knew that he'd want to find it clean. And he wanted to give that experience to the people. And he did it with dignity. And he did it with pride. And there was self-respect. And he felt full. And when he left the stand that he had to clean, and it was a shining example of a new stand, he felt full. He felt enough. And he took what he earned and he put it towards his future and his college education. And that's what I'm talking about, reaching inside. I don't care what you're doing out there. Be congruent. Be enough of yourself. Do it independent of the scrutiny of others, and you will live with dignity in the world.
Exactly to what you were saying last week about it's your choice. When you say, why me? Why not you?
Absolutely.
It's that choice.
Why shouldn't it be you? Why shouldn't, you know, a lot of times things happen and we call someone else in this country to clean it. You know, I just spilled the tea. Can you bring this? Can you bring that? Mm-hmm. I must tell you, I might be in this way, I don't know. Some people would say limited or need help. I don't know, but I get such catharsis from having completed something that simple because so much of what I have to do is on a to-do list that's never ending to spill the tea like I did this morning and get a towel and stamp all over it and clean it up and then, you know, get another one and get it until it's clean and then wash it up. There's a feeling of fullness that comes from that. It's like you can look back and go, there was spilled tea. There isn't spilled tea.
Yeah.
You know, you can be grateful you spilled half of it into your...
Something is completed.
Yeah, I spilled half of it into the crock. I was like, yes, well caught. You know, just poured the rest out. But there's a completion that comes from doing something in a full way, like making breakfast for the family. I so seldom get the chance to, but when I get a chance to make breakfast for my son, he feels fooled by it. I feel fooled by it. And there's an exchange of fullness.
Yeah.
And most people spend their whole day and most of their life running around with this empty bowl saying, please put something in it. Please fool me. Please tell me I look good. Please tell me you liked what I did. Please tell me you want to be my friend. Instead of just going into the world, being themselves, being more of themselves, giving.
Yeah.
And if you get back, bonus. But if you rely on what you get to full in the world, you will never be full enough to make a difference.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
And you agree again, yes?
I do.
Okay.
I just feel inspired, and it feels like, you know, we were saying earlier as well, we've got to keep talking the language so you don't forget it. We've got to keep talking this kind of truth so that we're constantly reminded of how we want to be living our lives. Otherwise,
absolutely. Do you know what I live in hope of every single Friday that I'm here and any talk I do in workshops and whatever it is I'm doing? That people will move 1% in their lives.
Yeah.
That's something I say at some point will say, I just want to be a little bit more of myself. I just want to do a little bit more of me. I just want to be a bit better. I just want to be a bit more refined.
Yeah.
I just want to make that little shift, because every little shift we make accumulates. It's compound interest.
Absolutely.
And then the next shift gets easier, more accessible, because we realize, gee, I could stop being that nasty. I could stop just blurting that out. I could stop. Who knew? Who knew? Well, maybe I can work on this then.
Yeah.
And maybe I can try and understand the insecurity that keeps me doing this. Maybe I can work with that. Maybe I don't have to be so afraid to look at that pain. Maybe I can refine it so that I'll behave better in the world. Because when we behave better, we feel better.
Absolutely.
And when we contribute more to other people's lives, we automatically contribute more to ours. And when we are more of ourselves, we contribute more to our lives.
Yeah.
And that feels fuller, and I have more to give and do in the world.
Absolutely.